firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee.
Only God's mercy keeps any of us from going to hell. That's the plain truth that we'll hear today as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, continues our life-changing study in the book of Romans. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and we're inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus and find your seat. And while you get comfortable, let's share a couple of letters from fellow listeners who join us for the ride. First, there's a letter from a listener in Italy who hears our Romanian broadcasts. I listen every night with joy, and I feel blessed. I am 29 years old and live in an Italian prison. I'll stay here for a few years, but I am happy because the Lord Jesus is here with me. I'm so grateful that God forgave me and gave me the assurance of my salvation. I've made a written request to get permission to be baptized here. There is an Italian pastor who is allowed to visit me. I have a large family in Romania, 8 brothers and sisters, but only my mother received the Lord Jesus in her heart. I still miss my family, but my biggest joy is that I know that my sins are forgiven and I feel free even though I'm incarcerated. The Lord offers me encouragement through His Word and through your messages. You explain the Word of God so well that anyone can understand it. I see a great need among the people around me. I pray they find Jesus too. Isn't that a great letter? Next, we hear from Stephanie. She emailed us from her home in Maryland. I was saved in December 2014 while listening in my car to your broadcast. I stumbled upon the program while driving to work. I have not missed a broadcast yet. If I can't listen on my way to work, I go online to catch up. I also enjoy the Sunday sermon. I am using the program to prepare daily Bible studies for my 5- and 6-year-old daughters, who, because of my salvation, have accepted and trusted the Lord in their young lives as well. The knowledge that you share helps me as I reach out to others with the good news. Thank you for getting God's word out. I am a result of your work in serving the Lord. Please accept my online donation as a sign of my gratitude. Stephanie, it is such a pleasure to have you aboard. I'm so glad that you were saved, in part as a result of the broadcast. And we want to thank you so much for your gift that keeps the Bible bus rolling through your neighborhood and around the world. If you'd like to know how you can support Through the Bible through your prayers and gifts and enable people like Stephanie to come to Christ, then call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit us at ttb.org/give. And if our studies together in God's Word are changing your life, we'd certainly love to hear about it. December is Letter Month, and it's a special time that we set aside to celebrate the work that God's doing through the power of His Word. So tell us, in our time in Romans maybe, how is it changing your heart? And what are the biggest lessons that God's teaching you as we study the Bible together? Who are you reaching out to with God's Word now as a result of what you know? Why don't you share your story? You can do it on our Facebook page. You can also email us at BibleBus@ttb.org. And we still love to get old-fashioned letters by writing to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Canadian listeners, you can write to Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good news that we'll hear today about your righteousness that allows us to be saved. We pray for those who don't yet have a relationship with you. Open their ears so that they'll hear your word and respond in faith to your gracious offer of salvation through Jesus. It's in His amazing name that we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
We had not quite finished the 9th chapter last time. We got down to verse 25, and this is the last division of the chapter. We have here the choice of Gentiles in the Scripture prophecies of God. Paul has made it very clear that the nation Israel was chosen by the sovereign will of God and not because of their merit. It was in the sovereign purpose of God. And he made it very clear that it's not to him that willeth or him that worketh, but it's God that showeth mercy, and thank God for that today. And now, he's not only chosen a nation, and not only save those in that nation that turn to God, and it's the remnant always, but among the Gentiles, he's calling out a people today to his name. I'm reading verses 25 and 26. As he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which are not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now this is a prophecy from Hosea. Refers to the nation Israel. And Peter refers the prophecy to the believing remnant in his day, which perpetuated the nation. He says to his people that had turned to Christ, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, to show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, this prophecy from Hosea, actually it's verse 26 here, and it comes from Hosea 1:10, refers to Gentiles. And any place on the earth, Gentiles who turn to Christ now and in the future, as James put it in Acts 15:17, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. So God reached into Europe. He didn't send the gospel into Europe because the people in Europe were superior people. I think there are some of us who are members of the white race, we somehow or another think that we are the superior people. We're not. The Chinese were way ahead of our ancestors at that time. My ancestors, and I have a notion yours, were there in the forests of Europe, of Germany. One branch of my family is over in Scotland. I'm told they were the dirtiest, filthiest savages ever been on this earth. Do you think that God carried the gospel to them because they were superior? Why, my friend, they weren't. They were anything but that. It's not to him that willeth or worketh, but it's God that showeth mercy. And I thank him for that. How wonderful it is. And now Paul again quotes, this time from Isaiah, in the 27th, 28th verses, and I'm reading now, Isaiah also cried, and it was in anguish over Israel, if the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant only shall be saved, for he, that is the Lord, will execute his word upon the earth, finishing and cutting it short in righteousness. And this is a tremendous quotation that Paul gives from the 10th chapter of Isaiah, verses 22 and 23. Only the remnant of Israel will be saved in the great tribulation period. If you want to see the percentage, there are approximately 15 million of the nation Israel today. In the great tribulation, we know only 144,000 are sealed. That's a pretty small ratio, by the way. Now, I do believe there'll be others saved during that period, but 144,000 will be as witness. It will be a small percentage. But that's the remnant. Always been that way with them. It's always been that way with Gentiles. Now, don't ask me why. It's God that showeth mercy. And the very fact he just saves one reveals the mercy of God, because none of them deserve it. None of us do. Verse 29, and as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we'd been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Paul quoting here from Isaiah 1:9, this is a startling statement, but it's a fitting climax to the sovereignty of God. Even the elect nation would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah in depravity and rebellion to God if God had not intervened in sovereign mercy and recovered a remnant. What an indictment of proud Phariseeism and proud church membership today. Only God's mercy keeps any of us from going to hell, my beloved. Only God's mercy. Verse 30. Now we come here to something that is quite interesting. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. This is a thrilling statement. Gentiles who did not will or run, no willing or working, he found righteousness in Christ because God worked and God willed it. The Old Testament scriptures had prophesied it. You see, Isaiah had said that Gentiles were to be saved. Verse 31, but Israel, pursuing after a law which should give righteousness, did not arrive at such a law. This is a terrifying statement. The Jews tried to produce a righteousness of their own through the Mosaic system. They didn't produce it. Look at the nation today. Religious people are the most difficult people in the world to reach today. Church members are. Those that think they're good enough to be saved. But, my friend, you'll never be able to reconcile the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. But Paul is making it very clear here that if you're going to be saved, it's your responsibility. It's whosoever will may come, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. You can come. And don't stand on the sidelines and say, I'm not elected. You are in the race, whether you like it or not. But I never heard of anybody being elected who didn't run. You've got to run for the office. If you want to be saved, you're the elect. If you don't, you're not. And that's all I know about it. I can't reconcile them. This happens to be God's universe, and he just didn't let me in on this. But I've come to the place in the sunset of life, I can say today, God is sovereign, and he's going to do this according to his will. And his will's going to be right, and there's no unrighteousness with him. He won't make a mistake. Our government may have made a mistake years ago in this decision, you know, about going into Vietnam. Maybe it was a blunder, and people believed in it. My friend, why don't you believe in God? He doesn't make a mistake. He's righteous. He's good. And he doesn't even ask you to vote for him because he's not running for office. He's already in office. And he's not responsible to anyone but himself. He's not responsible to the electorate. He is only responsible to his own character. And whatever God does is right. Now we come to chapter 10 and we see God's present purpose with Israel. And here we have the present state of Israel, and that is lost. That's their condition today, just as the Gentiles are. And the reason is Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now he turns from the sovereignty of God to the responsibility of man. He did that back in verse 30. In the last chapters we saw. And now he pursues that. Listen to it. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They are responsible, you see. They are responsible to God. And we read, let me give you our Lord's word in Luke 19:43-44. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy salvation or thy visitation. Now, that's the condition of the nation over there today. They're surrounded by Arab nations. They want to push them into the sea. Now, why? Well, you can blame the Arab, you can blame Russia, you can blame everybody. You can blame God if you want to, because God says that the reason they're in the state they're in today and can't have peace there, they did not recognize their time of visitation. So Paul says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, I want you to see something here. There are three great statements that you can draw from this word here. And Bengel makes this statement. He says, Israel, with all they possessed of religion, they were not saved. They needed to be saved. They had religion, but they didn't have righteousness. That's religion today. I would say today, probably 75% of church members, they're not saved. Friends, they're just members of a religious club, that's all. And they're in rebellion, actually, against God, because they won't accept the righteousness that he offers in Christ. You can be religious and be lost. Israel had a God-given religion. We saw back in chapter 9, all they had more than anyone's ever had. But they were lost, Paul says. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. Number two, they were savable. Again, Bengel says, Paul would not have prayed had they been altogether reprobate. And they weren't. They were savable. Who would ever thought our ancestors, yonder in Europe, were savable? Why, the Chinese had a civilization at that time. Why didn't the missionaries go in that direction? Why didn't the apostles say, not these pagan Gentiles over here? They're not even savable. But they were, my friend. And the Chinese had a civilization at that time. Now, the third thing, they are on the same plane before God as Gentiles and should be evangelized as other people without Christ. There's no difference today. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. This idea of a superior race or an inferior race. At the foot of the cross, it's all level ground, friends. I don't care who you are. Your social position, your church membership, your good works, your white skin, that won't help you. You are a hell-doomed sinner without Christ. And God is just and righteous when he says that to you. And right now, if you're unsaved, the cockles on the back of your neck are sticking out a foot. Because you say, I don't like what that preacher is saying. Now, this preacher's not saying it. God is saying it, my friends, and God is putting it in neon lights here. He doesn't want you to miss it. And this is a tremendous statement. There are those today that believe that the gospel ought to go to Israel first. I think what Paul meant was actually chronologically, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Why, did you know for the first few years in the city of Jerusalem and in Israel, there was not a Gentile saved. You wouldn't have made it had you been there, friends. Church is 100% Jewish at that particular time. And today there's some think, well, we ought to go first to the Jew. I don't agree with that. But I'd also want to add to it, you better not leave him out. He's in the plan and purpose of God, and he should have the gospel today. And I disagree, especially if a man like Dr. Reinhold Niebuhr, back in Time magazine, he's reported to have said, this was April the 21st, 1958, and I took the quotation out at that time. He says, do not try to convert Jews. Jews may find God more readily in their own faith than in Christianity. And he just maintains this viewpoint. So he says, especially because of the guilt they're likely to feel if they become Christian. That's when you get rid of the guilt, my friend. May I say to you, they should have the gospel. All people should have it because God is prepared to show mercy today. Now, Paul goes on to say, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Well, I know some churches where their business is termites. Well, Monday night it's basketball. Tuesday night it's football. Wednesday night it's volleyball. And Thursday night it's baseball. And Friday night, they just have a ball. But they got something going every night. They have a zeal for God. And they always like to do it in the name of Jesus, you know. All they got's religion. My friend, do you have Christ? Have you accepted the righteousness that he offers in Christ? You can't be saved on any other basis. You have to be perfect to go to heaven. And I have news for you. You're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, but I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for me, and he was buried, and he rose again, and he was delivered for my offenses, but he's been raised for my justification, my righteousness. He's perfect. I'll go to heaven because he took my place. Do you have him today as your Savior? For goodness sakes, forget your church membership for a while. I don't mean to minimize church membership, but don't trust it. The average church today is dead as a dodo bird. A fellow said to me some time ago, I'd just soon go out and play golf on Sunday. And I really shocked him. I said, when you go out, invite me to go with you. I'm retired now. He said, McGee, you don't mean you'd do a thing like that? No, I said, really, I don't think it would. But I'll be honest with you. I think I probably would be more spiritual out there than I'd be in some churches today. You know why? Because I might get a good shot, might even get a hole in one. And I tell you, friends, that would carry me up to the heights. May I say to you today, do you have Christ? That's what I'm trying to say. Oh, get rid of everything else and to hold on to him. Now, Paul goes on here. He says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Now, that was true of Israel. It's true today of the average church member. This lack of discernment, Dr. Griffith Thomas commented on it. He says, is it not marvelous that people can read the Bible and all the time fail to see its essential teaching and its personal application to themselves? There's scarcely anything more surprising and saddening than the presence of intellectual knowledge of God's Word with an utter failure to appreciate its spiritual meaning and force. And I have seen men, officers in the church, carry a Bible so big under the arm that they leaned in that direction when they walked down the street. And I watched them for 21 years. They never growed one inch. They just didn't grow. That's all. May I say to you, no discernment whatsoever. Not even able to really discern what it means to be saved today. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's the goal. And he made it clear. He said, I didn't come to patch up an old garment. I came to give you a new garment, the robe of his righteousness. Now, the law was given to bring men to Christ. It wasn't given to save them. Paul could say to the Galatians in 3:24, the law is our schoolmaster. It was a servant that took us by the hand to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law was not given to save us. It showed that we needed to be saved. Took us by the hand and brings us to the cross and says, little fellow, you need a Savior. You need to be saved. That's the important thing. And the law came to an end in Christ. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Paul said that again in Galatians 5:4. The law is no more rule of life than it's a means of righteousness. It's to everyone that believes. That suggests both the freeness and the universality of salvation. To everyone that believeth. Everyone, universal, believeth. Oh, the freeness of it. Why don't you accept it? Now you have the present standing of Israel, verses 5 through 12. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. Granted that you could attain a righteousness in the law, it would be your own righteousness and not God's. You'd never measure up to his. And in verse 6, Paul says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. And then he talks about ascending up to heaven to bring it down, or going down to hell and bringing it up. Well, my friend, that righteousness that Paul talks about, and he quotes from Deuteronomy, that righteousness is available to you today. You don't have to make a trip anywhere, right where you're sitting. A great many folk think they've got to come down front in some sort of a meeting to be saved. Right where you are right now, some of you in a car, riding along. Some of you in your home. Some of you at a place of business. And there's some funny places people listen to this broadcast. We have letters that tell of the most peculiar places. Right now, I imagine there's a little mother up yonder in Alaska. Maybe snowed in by now. I don't know. And then out yonder, Hawaiian Islands. I know of a little Japanese pastor. Doesn't have but about 15 members. He's translating this to his people out there. Whoever you are, right now, it's available to you. All you have to do is to accept it by faith. How wonderful the mercy of God is today. It's the one who shows mercy. Don't tell me this is something terrible. It's wonderful. It is wonderful today. Now, I'll have to leave off there today, but we'll finish this chapter next time, and then we'll be going into the 11th chapter. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
To learn more about God's incredible gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus, visit us at ttb.org and click on the banner that says, How Can I Know God? And if we can help you find a resource to deepen your study of God's Word, visit us at ttb.org or give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Has God abandoned His people, the Israelites? Well, join us tomorrow as Dr. McGee answers this question in our continuing study of the New Testament book of Romans. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.